weeks when our worship theme is images of the divine. A few of you have been sending me your ideas and images and experiences by email, or we've been talking about these in person, of this mystery that we do catch glimpses of from time to time. We've been having conversations about how we apprehend the presence that some of us call God, and how fleeting these experiences can be, and how hard it can be to talk about them. But that's why we're here, to point toward the good and the true, to open ourselves up to these holy mysteries. And there is something powerful. Frank, would you do me a favor? If you didn't, as Megan said this a week ago, would you mind going and turning the switch and just powering down the, you know where it is, thank you. Technical detail, Megan, this happened a couple weeks ago. We're having a new issue with our boiler. And Megan said, well, if people didn't need to think that we need a new one, here's proof. Even though the temperature in here is higher than what the thermostat's calling for, until we turn the whole system off, it would be like a sauna in here in an hour. And that infernal banging, sorry. You thought this was a sermon about God and the Spirit? It's really a sermon about the damn boiler. Sorry for that little side. Thank you, Frank. That was going to drive me crazy. And this is why we're here, not to worry about the building as much as we love it, or to swear about the boiler as I do oftentimes during the week. Just ask Dawn. But we're here to point toward that which is good and true, and to open ourselves up to these holy mysteries, right? And there is something powerful and beautiful about sharing these moments with others. It's an act of trust, and it's a kind of spiritual intimacy to talk about our own experiences of awe and wonder. A few days ago, Syl DeLay wrote me an email about a hike she took in Maine up to a mountaintop with her young son when something unexpected came to pass. She wrote, 4 golden eagles appeared, encircling the invisible thermals rising, powering their lift. They swung trapeze between their shoulders, tilting on unseen strings, serene marionettes, dancing rituals of Penobscot gods, a mountain ballet for a privileged few. Caught up in their spell, we sat transfixed, time unmeasured, having to remember consciously to breathe. I've never been more held within awe. And then Carol Adler wrote and shared her own quite different image of the divine. A golden sphere of lightness, contracting and expanding, morphing from one shape to another, floats just above my head. It sheds its goodness, its power, its energy upon me. This is the love of those who are no longer part of our earth. Their arms can no longer wrap around me. Their laughter can no longer bring a smile to my lips. Their gentle fingers can no longer brush my brow. But all of the love that they had and still have for me is captured in the glowing sphere of lightness that hovers just above my head, shedding its golden light. Thank you, Syl and Carol, for sharing your images with us. I wonder if you noticed in their descriptions that they both are looking up. I think of that first line from the 121st Psalm. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. from whence cometh my help. But of course, the holy is all around and is likely to be found in everyday and down-to-earth experiences, as it is in the mountaintop ones. This week and this month, I've been thinking about the time when years ago I was working as a photographer. And one time I signed up for a week-long workshop with Sam Abel, who was a long-serving National Geographic photographer. I'd admired his work for a while, and I had the sense that he was the kind of person I would enjoy spending time with. And he was. And one day during that week, Sam was showing us some of his photographs, which have a balance and a beauty and a quiet presence about them. One picture particularly struck me. Sam made it when he was on assignment in Alaska, traveling by canoe. And he told us that one day the canoe tipped. It rolled over enough that water came in and his cameras fell out, and they were ruined. He had only the camera that he had across his shoulder on his chest. Of course, dejected by this turn of events, at the end of the day, Sam decided to walk away from the river and up a hill. And as evening fell, he says, an owl and I surprised each other. Instead of flying away, the owl flew in silent, slow circles around my head. And then it disappeared. When it reappeared, it flew on a direct line at my eyes, then abruptly up and over me at close range. I made the picture at that moment. This photo has an eerie quality about it. A dark, fuzzy shape at the edges. A dark shape, fuzzy at the edges. It seems to hover over a bleak landscape and hover over the photographer. After Sam told us this story, he rolled his eyes and remarked that a critic had once told him, it's actually a terrible bird photo. It's not even sharp of the bird. And as we talked about this image and the disaster of having your cameras drowned in a river, I felt moved to say, it looks to me like a picture of God. If you'd like to see it for yourself, I have a copy of his book open to that photograph on the round table right in the corner of the Murray Room. What we're inviting this month is a deeper conversation about the holy, that presence that is with us all the time, just inviting us to notice. As Reverend Gretchen Haley writes, we have already missed too much beauty. Our minds so mixed up with multitasking, toggling back and forth between hope and fear, worry and wonder. The sun rises with an insistent light, and the morning breaks with the promise of the holy, disguised as babies gurgling and dogs groaning. All that this day asks is that we risk showing up with our eyes open, that we might bear witness to the whole of life. One of the things I love about you is that you keep showing up. This is something we're pretty good at, showing up in a whole bunch of different ways. Those of you who are newer here, maybe even if you're not newer, think about the time when you first came, or the first time you headed over there to coffee hour. Maybe some of you are still waiting for that day, and that's good, because it can feel risky, right? Some of us sat in a circle on Wednesday night and took the risk of sharing our own experiences of the divine, and that was good. And if you'd like to do that, I'm holding that space again this Wednesday at 7 o'clock after Vespers, if you'd like to come. Before those COVID days and COVID years, I realize now that too often I took for granted how much it means to show up and the simple possibility and ability to show up. What a gift and a privilege it is to be able to show up in body, also in heart and mind, and in spirit, in person and other ways like over Zoom. Some of you, there you are. You're coming from a distance because it might be really hard to get here in person, or you're too far away, and we're glad that you've come too. What is a community like ours but people who commit to showing up for one another, who undertake the journey of being curious and attentive to the longings of our souls and to the leadings of the Spirit, who understand that on the spiritual journey it's necessary to have companions for support and encouragement, people with whom you can share your sorrow and your questions and your joy. Where can you have these kind of conversations in these days? Where can you connect with people of other generations and other backgrounds and other theologies? Where can you trust that there are people holding open a space where you can become yourself without shame or fear? This church asks you to risk showing up, to have faith that who you are and what you bring is all welcome and wanted and needed here. To have faith that this is a place where we are all invited to share our gifts and extend our care so that together we can do our part to help heal and bless our world. This is a time of year when we ask you to make a financial commitment to the church so we can do the things, some of them behind the scenes kind of things, that make it possible to be a healthy and thriving congregation. Things like paying our great staff and caring for this beautiful old building, keeping the lights on and the heat working more or less, and the internet on. I hope you got one of these mailers in the mail, and inside it, one of these little cute pledge cards. I hope you'll fill it out like Tracy and I did yesterday, and that you'll bring it back or mail it in today or soon. But before you do, if you haven't done it yet, I hope you'll take some time to ponder. What do I want to give? What am I able to give that reflects my commitment to and my gratitude for this community? And I hope you can trust, as I do, that when we all do this, giving as we can, it just all works out. And it's beautiful. We spend our money carefully here. I hope you already know that. Some years ago, our former board chair here said, we spend our money carefully, we throw nickels around like there are manhole covers. We're not that conservative, but we have these great and devoted and skilled people leading our efforts and helping manage our finances. And I hope you can trust that whatever you give makes a real difference here in what we are creating together. And so, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for your gifts and for your generosity. You might know already that I often find images of the divine in song lyrics. Just a couple. These from Van Morrison. Let go. I'm not going to try to sing it, though. Let go into the mystery. Let yourself go. You've got to open up your heart. That's all I know. And this from the hymn we sang earlier, a verse that I love, Age after age we rise, 'neath the eternal skies, into the light from the shadowed past. Still shall our pilgrim song, buoyant and brave and strong, resound while life and mountains last. This journey of faith does require courage and trust. It involves getting lost sometimes and letting go, trusting that you will in time be found. And I can also testify that this journey will in time bring liberation and connection and joy. That passing through the shadows does make us braver and stronger and can bring a surprising buoyancy to life. That is the wondrous joy of being alive and knowing that you are alive. Being awake to the mysterious presence all around, to the truth that each of our days, even with their troubles, is a gift and a blessing. Let's hear John Ciardi one more time. What lifts the heron leaning on the air, I praise without a name. A crouch, a flare, a long stroke through the cumulus of trees, a shaped thought at the sky, then gone. Oh, rare. St. Francis, being happiest on his knees, would have cried, Father, cry anything you please, but praise. By any name or none, but praise the white original burst that lights the heron on his two soft kissing kites. When saints praise heaven lit by doves and rays, I sit by pond scum till the air recites its heron back and doubt all else but praise. I love his assertion that doubt and praise are not mutually exclusive. That you can use any name or none for that force which lifts the heron, that offers a surprising moment of inspiration seen on eagle's wings, a healing balm in times of trouble, the felt presence of those loved and lost. We are here to be recipients of this grace, to be like instruments tuned for praise. Let us be people who learn to explore these strange old and new worlds, to boldly go where we have not gone before. And let this be our prayer. Fill us with a living vision. Heal our wounds that we may be bound as one beyond division in the struggle to be free. Grant us wisdom. Grant us courage. Ears to hear and eyes to see. Ears to hear and eyes to see. Now and forever. Amen.